Welcome to the Fly Racing Ride X365 podcast. If you're looking for the latest news from snow, moto, and off-road, then you just pushed the right button. And now, here is your host, G-Dubs.
All right, hey everybody, welcome to the Fly Racing Ride X365 podcast. My name is Gary Walton, and I'm joined today in studio by our somewhat regular co-host this season, Dalton Vetch. What's up, DV?
Not a whole lot, just transitioning to dirt bikes from snowcross.
And I say somewhat regular co-host. That's mostly my doing, not yours. I know you are always available, but sometimes I end up doing these things in the middle of the night and just calling it good. But so thanks for that. It's been good all season.
Yeah.
Your first time here at the Motor X Garage, right?
Yeah, first time.
It's a, I was telling you earlier, it's a little bit of what I like to refer to as a shit show at the moment. I'm still trying to find, I went from a 60 by 80 building where we had Action Graphics, and now I have this like 15 by 30 garage. I'm trying to find a place for everything, but we're making it work. So hey, before we get started, I want to thank Fly Racing for their support. We'll be going to be winding down the snowcross content with this show, but it was a great season for Fly in National Snowcross, as well as a lot of their core cross-country series guys. On the Fly front, the new Kinetic Mesh 21.5 gear was recently introduced, so if you're a moto or an off-road guy or gal, please check that out. The temps have kind of been all over the map around here lately. We've seen 85, we've seen 20. But, you know, those steamy ride nights or days at the moto track are just around the corner. So check out the Kinetic Mesh 21.5. It's the perfect solution for that. Also, big thank you to Studboy Traction as well as CNA Pro Skis. They've both been a big part of the pod since day one, along with pretty much everything else we do on the RideX365 network. And finally, Woody's Manufacturing, Fox Shocks, and Hayes Power Sport. They were all a big part of our Snowcross Power Rankings this season. That was a new segment we brought on, which turned out to be one of our most viewed segments on the website. So thank you very much to those guys. You're talking about jumping into moto season as we transition into off-road and our Border Battle XC series. I want to give a shout-out to the following companies who have gotten behind the podcast as we head into summer and the race series and all things that we do off-road on RideX365, and that would be Hoosier Tire, Motorex Oil, Moon Motorsports, Vertex Pistons, Custom Outfitters, Finley Motors and Finley Motorsports. So those of you in the snowmobile world know the Carl Christian family. That's their companies. American Metalcraft, that's Ken Neubauer, who used to be a regular on the National Snowcross Tour. Ken's got a really killer fabrication shop in southeast Wisconsin, and he helps us out with a lot of our awards and custom fabricating pieces for us. So thank you to Ken. Hanco Utilities, another member of the Snowcross family. That's the Catoos. Jeff, Missy, Cole, they've been a big part of helping out with our series the last couple of years. They let us use a Ranger and some different things from their business and have supported that. So thank you to them. Checkpoint Off-Road, Enduro Engineering, SSI Decals, that's another new company that's just come on board. Ian Harris at SSI Decals, a lot of you also will know from the snowmobile world. They're a huge sponsor of guys in the ATV MX world, side-by-side racing, and in snowcross, Judding Motorsports, Warrant Racing, and I just got word from Ian. They're now going to be the official graphic sponsor with Shearing Speed Sports, which is a company we used to work with at Action Graphics. So I'm glad to see that that partnership transpire. Brothers Motorsports right here in Baxter, Minnesota, getting behind one of our races this summer. Concrete Coatings Unlimited, that's a guy, Coy Jackson, who races our series. He's got a little sideline to his concrete business doing garage, trailer, and pit flooring solutions like the matte tiles that you can put down in different places, and Coy's going to have those on display at all of our events this season. Jay's Power Center, Fasco, Fast Company, Fasco, the makers of the Flex Handlebars. Hey, DV, you know the Flex Bars, right?
You familiar? Yep.
What do you see as a use in snowcross? Is there anything that would prevent it, or?
So me and Andrew actually looked into this when he was still racing. If you could figure out a way to make them work, the only reason we never did them was just not having the hook on the end of the bar.
Right.
That was the only reason we never tried it. I really wanted to try it because I think it would help because there's a lot of, you know, slap down landings and things that are kind of hard on the wrist. I think they could work really well for that.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Hunter Patino snap a set of bars this year, right?
Yeah.
Those Fasco bars are not going to snap.
They're really beefy. Product. They're strong handlebars.
Yeah. So I would like, if there's a snowmobile, a snowcross team out there that would be interested in giving that a shot, I think we can maybe get you a couple sets of bars to work mm-hmm. with. I know Cole Townsend at Fasco has asked about that in the past. And if it were me, I'd make it happen. They're awesome. They're great bars. So,
yep.
Beyond that, JC Motorsports. So that's another one. That's Jamie Chaney from Boss Racing. Jamie's supporting our off-road series this summer. And I think he's got a son that's going to come out and try a few events. And
that's awesome.
And also he's kind of doing some things on his own, you know, with working with 50s and 65s. So, so thanks to Jamie. X-Brand Goggles, Motul, Firepower Batteries and Chains, Motion Pro, DP Brakes, Northern Chill, another new sponsor out of Wisconsin. E-Line Accessories. You're saying you got an E-Line carbon skid plate on your new buggy?
Yeah, I did. I just put it on right before our Woods Wednesday ride on earlier this week and bolted up perfect. Love it.
So we're sitting here staring at a 2021 KX250 XC with 0 miles on it, and you're riding a pretty similar bike now, right?
Yep. Yeah, I have the moto version, so same thing, just a 19-inch wheel basically. So awesome bike. I love it.
Yeah, I can't wait to get it out. But like I was saying, I'm kind of waiting till it's completely built before I go out and get it dirty. Although I think Max Ferrick's going to come down and meet us at ERX tomorrow, and I told him he could ride it. So he might get it scratched up before I even get it finished. So, Funnel Web Filters, another new sponsor. If you've never seen a Funnel Web air filter, it's got like a honeycomb. I don't know how you describe it, like a honeycomb.
Honeycomb kind of pyramid shape.
Little pyramid pattern across it, which basically what happens is it more than doubles the surface area of your filter. So improving airflow and the ability to catch and retain dust and dirt. So Nitro Mousse and Tubeless, new tech companies. That's another new one with our race series. If you've never ran Mousses or the Tubeless system, definitely would recommend that. Guaranteed flat proof riding. So check them out. And last but not least, Guts Racing. Guts is a seat foam and cover company who's been helping us out with some of our project builds and some different things. And I've tried a couple different aftermarket seats, and there's several that I like, but the guys at Guts seem to really have a wider variety of color options. And also I've just found that when you go to install theirs, the fit and finish and the way they've got like an elastic piece around the front and back of every one that we've used anyway, really easy to mount and work with. So, yeah, thanks to them.
On my 125, actually, I've got one of their lightweight seat foams.
Yep, a Guts,
I put one of them on that. If anyone knows me and knows that bike, that thing's my baby. There's way more money than ever should be wrapped up in that thing. But it is crazy how light that seat is. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, what I liked about it, we put one on that beta we built last year, and I always like a tall version of a seat because I'm a taller guy, and just being an old fat man, I like that little extra cush. But their tall foam was not like as tall and stiff as most of the other companies we worked with. So it was nice. It was just an intermediate jump, but it was a really good foam. And for anybody who's ridden a beta, you know that the foam on there is made out of like 3/4-inch plywood. So, yeah. So kind of wrapping up the season. And first of all, everybody, this is going to be a real sort of impromptu, maybe abbreviated podcast. DV and I are going to go do a little woods riding here in a little bit, so we thought we'd get together and at least kind of wrap things up. I was gonna say not a ton of prep and specs, but you come in rolling in here with like this multicolored chart which is pretty damn impressive. But let's just start with wrapped up the season with a second straight weekend at Eagle River. First of all, I just want to say great job to the ISOC crew for just pulling off a season. I mean, this was a weird one. There were challenges along the way. We had multiple events relocated.
Yep.
We had no business having a race the last weekend in March like we did.
I think everybody was nervous for that one too, but it turned out really good.
It happened, right?
Yeah.
So
it was honestly, I thought it was better than the first one. Just, you know, track wise, kind of whatever. I kind of figured we'd have snow, but having the snow and the staging and then the ground kind of firmed up. There wasn't the frost coming out. It made it a heck of a lot better until it started raining anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, again, just to pull it off was awesome. It was a little bit of a bummer. I felt bad for the people at Eagle River just because they put a ton of effort into making this whole thing happen.
Yep.
And then when you get back-to-back weekends, you're obviously going to lose a little bit of crowd. And then also, like you said, there was some rain and yeah. The first weekend was a much nicer weekend.
Yep.
So not a great crowd, but I think they probably knew that going in too. They were just trying to make it happen. And which kind of brings me to, before we get into the weekend itself, where do you see everything going next year? We were at several new venues. Some I thought were much better than some places we've been in the past.
Yep.
But yet we were not at Canterbury or Geneva
places that Michigan.
Were like, well, and I'm just saying places that were like highlight,
The regulars. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So what do you see happening down the road? We've talked about this a little bit, but now that we're done.
What I would really like to see is maybe, I don't know if it would work very good or not, but maybe like an every other year kind of thing with a couple of those that aren't the staples of the series. Because I think Sioux Falls absolutely deserves a second shot.
Yep.
Fargo, I think they got dealt kind of a raw hand. We got some really crappy weather that weekend.
Yeah.
That sucked.
Fargo was, I thought, an awesome track.
Yes.
And I thought the everything about it was great. The setup, the pit.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys, from a pit perspective, you had to kind of go like the pro pits. Yeah, or the.
We can deal with that.
You had to kind of work your way around. But pretty good, I thought. Great grandstands. It just... Yep. Fargo being Fargo, I don't know that it's ever going to happen. You just...
Yeah, every time we go there, it seems like it's something.
It's either no snow or 40 below, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I thought, as cold as it was and the fact that it worked outside all day, it didn't really, you dress for it, whatever. I thought it was a great race.
Mm-hmm.
But it just... I don't know.
Yeah. And then what else? ERX, obviously, I think everybody would like to go back there. Probably just once.
Yeah, one time. Yeah.
I don't think anybody would argue that we shouldn't go back there. I actually shockingly liked the second time more of the track,
which I did not think
I was going to, but it turned out to be a lot better.
I would have to agree 100%. Like, I was a big proponent of the way the track normally is there. Like, it's a bigger, I wouldn't call it a motocross style track, but bigger, rights, lefts, multiple straights, but it didn't race very well. And the second time that sort of tri-oval thing.
Yeah.
Could maybe have a little something thrown into it, but I thought it raced
right
well. And yeah.
So yeah, the only complaint, and I don't even want to call it a complaint because it's not a complaint, but it was kind of far away from the stands, and that wasn't great, but no matter what, the racing was good on that track, and that's really what it comes down to.
I would almost suspect that part of that was because as we were getting to the end of the year,
yeah,
they're working towards some upcoming events and wanting to get snow closer to the pond.
Yep.
Thank you very much if you're putting on a air scramble race there in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's all gone now. Yeah. There's no snow.
Yeah, no. But that might have been some of the thinking there, because you could almost do a similar layout and get it a little closer to the...
Yeah.
But it didn't bother me. I thought the same thing when we got there, but it was still fine.
It was fine.
Good crowd. Yeah, no.
That crowd was crazy good the second time. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was a normal national, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we can definitely... we can definitely do, one ERX, and I think we got to go back to Eagle River once, right?
I mean, I would like to. I said this kind of early on, even if it meant adding a ninth weekend to try to get one of these other good venues in, I'd be fine with that. I will retract my statement about wanting to start in January every year.
Yeah.
If we're going to go this long, I don't want to do that again, because by the end it was pretty tough to stay motivated.
No, that... My two biggest requests, if I had any say in the matter, which I have absolutely zero, is please don't start on Thanksgiving weekend, and absolutely do not go past St. Patrick's weekend.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's always iffy anyway at Geneva, right? Where they've got plenty of man-made snow on a north-facing slope. So I don't know. Let's go back to back if we have to one or two more times. There was a couple of gaps in there where we had 2 weeks, right? So
yeah, I think toward the end we had one in there, maybe between Sioux Falls and ERX or something. Seems like we had like 2 weekends off.
We didn't
need that.
In a perfect world, we'd get one in middle of December.
Yep.
And go like every other weekend. And I'm like you. Let's, again, easy for me to say because somebody's got to pay the bill, but let's add a ninth round.
Yeah.
We've got good places to go.
Yep. I would even be okay if we could do two in December, you know, first weekend and third weekend, and then we get a Christmas break for, you know, a week or two, whatever, and then come back at Canterbury, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I could live with that.
You know, and then do the other seven through the rest of the year, and we'd end the normal time. That'd be about perfect, I think.
Yeah. No, I think, again, who knows what things will be like in the fall, but we're going the right way, right, with everything COVID. And
yeah.
Yeah, let's figure out a way to add a race and keep going to cool places.
If anything, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying not go back to. So, you know, we've just went through this whole scenario and nobody's mentioned Duluth. I'm sorry, but I could do without it.
Yeah, I didn't really miss it. No. It's cool because it's Duluth, and I think it's just the history of it that's cool.
Yeah.
But as far as the actual racetrack goes, I could take it or leave it.
I love going to the city, and I love, yep. You know, on the hill was cool, but it's not much of a racetrack.
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, have you heard anything on that? Are we going back? I thought I heard some rumblings that we were, and it was kind of a done deal, but then I've kind of mentioned that to a few people, and it doesn't sound like it, so I'm not really sure.
Well, whether you want to say unfortunately or not, you know, a big push there is going to be the Amsoil connection.
Yeah.
That's their hometown. And you know, thanks Amsoil for sponsoring the series all these years and everything you do, but to do it just because of that and,
right,
you know, say history or whatever, you know, don't do it for the wrong reasons.
Right. Yeah, if there's a better venue with better racing and everything, I think,
yeah,
it's pretty hard to deny that. The only thing is that one does get a good fan turnout, and I'm sure ISOC really likes that.
Yeah. I don't want to go against the grain on anything that works, but I don't know. And I don't. Do you think Thanksgiving weekend is part of the fan turnout?
I don't know. It's kind of tough to say. It seems like you could kind of go either way.
I don't know. I just, it's too. It proved this year that it's better not starting that early, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I wouldn't mind starting a week or two later for sure.
Yeah. And you can't tell me they don't make more money from the snowcross than they do skiing.
So right.
Skiers can wait one more week. Yeah.
And then from our end on the teams, you know, it was awesome to get the whole month of November to prep and this year the whole month of December. But I think you saw it in the racing right from the first weekend. Everybody came in ready to go.
Yeah.
It was good racing all year long.
Yep. Yeah, that's another thing I would say is we had some great racing this season.
Mm-hmm.
Right through all three classes, obviously. Yep. Ishul was dominant in the pro class, but
but he had his moments though. You know, I mean, to start off the year, he had that. Ran into somebody on that backstretch at ERX and all but DNF the race. You know, he was just waited by the finish line for the checkers. So he started out with a little drama and had to work his way up a little bit in the points.
Well, so that leads me back to something. This was kind of on my. I don't know if we're going in chronological order here, but this was on my talking point since we're being a little informal. We end the season at Eagle River, 2 points days, and then again back to this is no criticism on Amsoil. I appreciate what they've done, but we have to fit in this Dominator race on the third day, which just because sort of contractually, right? But
yeah,
absolutely nobody wants to be there.
No.
And I feel bad. I feel bad for ISOC. I feel bad for Amsoil that we have a race where it's open to any pro or pro light rider. Mm-hmm. And what do we have, 5 pros and 8 pro lights, something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't very many. It was not a good turnout. And then we even had a couple sport guys in there to try to fill the field.
Well, I mean, we got a sport guy who's going to be a pro light rider next year, right?
Well, we had Freeland and Krajcek were in there, too.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So we had, like, some sport guys that were in there, field filler kind of thing. So,
this circling back around the long way to Ishul and having his moments is, you know, I think – couple pros are hurt, maybe, you know, a couple or whatever, but there was certainly a handful of them that could have raced that race.
Yep.
And I'm sure the thought was, well, why would I bother when Ishul's just going to win? Well, man, thumbs up to Adam Peterson for showing up and saying, hey, you got to be here to win, right?
Yeah, and he was there.
Yeah, and several of those guys. I mean, if we're gonna call them out, you know, the entire Lavalle team, the Judnick team.
Yep.
Hunter Patinone was there, and I know Lincoln Lemieux would have raced it, but he was injured, got hurt over the weekend.
Yep.
So hats off to the guys that did show up and to Adam Peterson for proving that, you know, it's racing, man. Anything can happen on any day, right?
Yeah, yep. So, and he rode phenomenal. That was
a good ride, yeah.
A crazy good ride.
Yep.
You know, just wrapping up a championship the day before, I kind of almost thought he'd be like, I'm just going to go out there and have some fun. And I don't know if he could have had more fun than what he did.
He could have been the one guy that said, I don't even need to show up. Right.
Yeah. 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 Him and Ishul probably were the two.
Right. Right. And I mean, I thought the heat races leading up to that in that the morning session were awesome. I mean, they were some of the best races all weekend. And getting back to some sport riders, I think Evan Christian was number one qualifier in the out of the Pro Light group.
He fastest. I believe he was. Yeah.
I think he and Evan Dahl were 1-2.
Yep.
And had a good ride. I think he fit mid-pack. Carson Allred, who swept the weekend, he crashed right off the start.
Yep.
But I think he kind of came back, didn't he, a little bit?
No, he ended up he ended up 13th. So okay, he must have pulled off.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, I much better format. I like, if we're going to do one of those races, I like that format.
Yep.
And yeah, shame on those guys who didn't show up.
Well, and a couple of them, I'm not going to name any names. I saw them. They were there. They were walking around, and I was like,
"Yeah,
what are you doing?"
probably the same ones that were seen at the strip bar the night before in the wee hours of the morning.
I wasn't there, but I heard stories, and yeah, that's pretty much, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, come on, man. It's eight flipping weekends. Just show up for the last race, right? Yep. I mean, it's like nothing.
Yeah, and I mean, what's worst-case scenario? Elias blows a belt and crashes, and you win, what is it, $10,000?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the worst. And if not, you did one extra race, and you go home, you know, whatever.
You're already there, right?
Yeah.
You're not going home until that night anyway.
I don't really understand. I mean, one of the semis, again, I'm not going to name any names, one of the semis pulled out Sunday during the racing.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So, again, Amsoil, don't get offended if I talk on Duluth or the Dominator, but I'm all in favor of what's happening there in that race and support of, you know, these guys should have showed up and put in an effort.
Yeah.
How about the Eagle River put together that overall two-weekend event thing that Norm won, like the high point or low point for the pro racer?
I didn't even see that.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, man. They built this badass trophy. It's like, I don't know, 3-4 feet tall, glass, mirror, lighted, big wood framed.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was total points or lowest points over the 2 days or the 2 weekends of,
That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's something different, something cool.
I'll show you a photo sometime. Really cool, man. They just did that on their own, right? That wasn't
Yeah, so, they didn't have to do that. That's still kind of one of those venues putting a little extra effort in.
Yeah. No, I hadn't been to Eagle River for a few years, and I was a huge oval racing fan for a long time. Those are the first races I ever went, started going over there like in 1987 to world championship races, and I've dipped in and out over time, and towards the end before the change of ownership I thought it just got a little bit another one of those deals where sometimes you do stuff for tradition for so long that you've kind of worn out your welcome, right?
Yeah.
But the new ownership I thought did a great job there. I would like to go back to a WC, oval WC one of these days.
After seeing that facility, I've never actually gone. Andrew did. I didn't go with him. But I would, if it's on an off weekend, I would consider going out there for that world championship to do the snowcross on the infield just to support the guys because they put the effort in. And unfortunately, the weather, I didn't really play along with them too well. But, man, I appreciate the work that they put into that place for us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I will say when they ran the snowcross during the Derby, it was not great. Yeah.
So I've heard that. But.
But. To do something, but anyway, man, if you've never, everybody should get over there one time to see the world championship.
Yep.
I don't know if things are changed. It used to be what really started to kind of, I faded away on it was their format was like all these various rounds of qualifying and practice, but it was never on a time schedule. It's just like, all of a sudden, now this is up, and
okay.
It wasn't like
you could really follow plan. Almost.
Yeah, but the actual racing, those guys are, they're insane. Yeah,
yep.
Go back and even just like on YouTube or whatever, they show some of the older world championships with the old twin trackers and then even the new stuff. I mean, it's a little weird. Like when you watch the new ones today, the current era, it's like they're riding old sleds really, but they're still like full on purpose built race sleds.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They've got actual mods. So that kind of interests me.
Right. Well, your friends are no AJ Lang, right?
Yeah.
Well, I admire AJ for doing that stuff.
Yeah. He talks about those sleds and I'm just like, man, it'd be cool if we could do something cool like that now.
Right? Right? Why not?
Yeah. We're not going to go down that road.
So here's a point. Again, this is a very unformatted podcast. We're just going to ramble, right? But I heard that there's some talk or some movement to eliminate or go back to a full stock can on all the sleds. And I think that's kind of coming from the fact that the skidoos are super
obnoxious.
Annoying. Yeah. What's your thought on eliminating it altogether, or just kind of putting a dB level on it? Or
so we actually had ISR approach us the first weekend. I think they came up and they asked us what we ran for an exhaust on ours, and they had everybody—not everybody, but a few people. They kind of went around, got a feel for what everybody had, and they were doing sound testing. and he actually had asked me if we had a jack stand they could keep up there, because he forgot to ask some of the other people. And so we brought a jack stand up there. I said, the only way you can use this all day is if you can make the skidoos quieter. but I would be bummed if they got rid of them altogether. I think it's just kind of something different for the fans, honestly. For us, down in the hot box, I hate it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're next to a skidoo, but honestly, they're all loud when you're wide open on a jack stand.
Yep.
But I'd hate to see it go away completely. That would suck.
So I was having this conversation with Gary Carell from Boss Racing the other day, and my initial reaction was, yeah, I wouldn't mind one bit if they got rid of them. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the point he brought up is, you know, everybody's all, when the whole stock rule came into effect, everybody's like, oh, yeah, why even bother? They're not mods. And he said, you know, well, the fans still like the sound. And
yeah.
And I'm like, well, I don't know, do they? But then the other point he brought up is, like, when they're in staging, it's like, okay, now you know something's coming up, right?
Yeah, it's different.
That point of it does make sense. It is a little bit of, oh, here comes the big guys, right?
Well, and I can even vouch for that, what Gary was saying. There really isn't a whole lot to look at on these sleds because they're stock.
Yeah.
The can is one of the things people walking through the pits do look at.
Yeah.
And you would be surprised how many questions we get. You know, what? Why do you run this one versus another one? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. You name it. We've been asked quite a few questions, and they actually seem interested and kind of like they know what's going on with it. So,
yeah, makes sense. I could take it or leave it, because to me, the racing still happens on the track.
But right.
I would love to just see, you know, CC limit, and that's the only rule.
Yeah, me too.
But if it's not going to be that, then let's just keep it simple. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a couple ways. If I could pick how they did it, there's a couple ways I would have gone about the getting rid of the mods thing without getting rid of them completely. But, you know, I think that ship has sailed, so
yeah,
we'll deal with what we got.
Well, the one lame part is when you start saying things like no aftermarket pistons, no, you know, like,
yeah,
like not even saying no titanium or whatever, but just like now you've eliminated sponsorship and,
yeah,
you know,
yep.
In some ways you've increased the cost, right?
On the bright side, I know firsthand, we do have the 120 champs, and I can tell you there are some trick champ sleds in the fits.
How does that make any sense whatsoever?
It doesn't.
The noisiest, most expensive sleds at the races are the 120
champs. Yeah. I know what has gone into the ones that we've got in our semi, and we could probably buy 2, 3, maybe 4 big sleds for the cost of those things. I mean, it's so unbelievable.
And what, nobody cares? No, like it doesn't,
yeah,
doesn't even register with anybody at ISOC.
That's our entry, you know, in, yeah, quotes, that's our entry level class. That's fine, but spend whatever you want. But our mod class, where it's the top of the sport, stock.
Yeah,
sorry, it's too expensive.
No, no offense to your team, but like, how, if I'm some like 35-year-old guy and I want to bring my, you know, 10-year-old out to try.
Yeah.
and it's like $30,000 sled in a semi. Why do I even bother showing up?
I'm going to look at that and go buy a ticket for the stands probably.
Yeah, or just go trail riding, you know.
Yep.
I don't know.
Whatever.
First world problems, I guess.
Yeah. No kidding.
So other thoughts on wrapping up the season? I mean, let's talk about your spreadsheet here. I don't want this to go in vain.
Kind of the big thing, I guess, that I thought was interesting. Usually, the lowest average finishing guy wins the championship. Pro Light, that wasn't the case. Kern actually was better. So
I
thought that was interesting.
Without going back and looking too close here, I see one DQ for Peterson and none for Kern.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
That helps.
Yep.
And that DQ was, I don't know what he was thinking there. We all know the orange rule.
What was that? Was that the deal?
His jersey didn't have orange on it. Oh. It was the number one jersey with no orange.
Give me a break.
Yeah, which, whatever. But the thing that I kind of thought was dumb is he wore that in the heats and they didn't say anything. Yeah. So a little inconsistency there, I guess, from ISOC. But
did you happen to watch the live stream of the FIM World Snowcross?
I didn't.
Race?
Nope.
No orange there at all.
No, none.
Pretty awesome.
I know even the tech guys are pushing to get rid of that. So it's just stupid.
I get some, but come on. Yeah, you're going to DQ. Yeah, whatever. I mean, rules are rules, I guess. If that's the rule, you got to DQ the guy, but come on.
To me, it seems ridiculous that they have to wear orange and they have to have so much orange on them, and then the sled can't have any orange.
Yeah.
Like, do you think we're going to confuse them?
When you're coming over a jump and there's a sled and a rider, you're going to change your line in midair.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to hit either of those things.
How about let's put orange on Jesse Strake so every time he's out running across the middle of the track, nobody hits him. Man.
Oh, boy. You're going to open a can of worms here.
Well, I'm just going to say it. I've considered Jesse a friend for probably 30 years now, but he is the most dangerous guy on the racetrack. Something happens and he just runs right out in front of traffic. I'm worried for him, but
yeah.
I'm just going to state my case right now. Hopefully somebody's listening. If somebody has a problem on the track and there's traffic coming, there's one guy in jeopardy. Yes, you want to get to his aid as soon as you can.
Yep.
But when you start just running half-ass out in the middle of the track, now you're in jeopardy. And everybody coming is in jeopardy because they can't go around. You know, it's like I see this happen weekly.
Yeah, that's.
I see flaggers throw their flags down and run out into the middle of the track.
I don't remember who it was on the backstretch at Eagle River. I was standing on the infield right next to the flagger, and I almost ran up there and grabbed the flag because the guy had crashed on the right side of the track, and the flagger was standing on the left side of the track flagging. And I almost ran up there and grabbed the flag from him and ran to the right side to flag people away because he was in between the bumps. You couldn't see him.
Yeah.
And he was flagging right into him dang near. I was like, holy cow, you guys.
And I don't – I did probably open my mouth before I thought on this, and I don't want to direct this at, like, all the flaggers. I think there needs to be a little more education and consistency there.
Yep.
I just have a huge problem with just running out into the middle of the track because you think you're – going to save somebody, you know?
Right.
That guy's fully dressed and equipped.
Yep.
Yes, he's in jeopardy, but before he can even react and, you know, get behind his sled or off the track, there's two or three other people running out there.
Yeah.
That's just insane.
And if the flaggers are trained properly, which I don't know how they are or aren't, I don't really know, but really you shouldn't need more than one flagger in front of them, or maybe one, you know, up the straight a little bit, but you shouldn't need three guys to run out there. Unless the sled's flip, but you wait till traffic goes by.
Running out there doesn't solve anything. Staying where you are and flagging would do a lot more than run. You know, you're running out there to save the guy? I don't know what.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, skis are on the ground. They're not going to hit him.
And so here's the blatant example that really put me over the edge. At Eagle River, when Ischel went off, he hooked a rut, went off the outside of the track over the tabletop. He's down off the track.
Yeah,
sled's on his side. He's standing up, and Jesse first, and then two other guys run across the track on the back side of the tabletop to get to him. Well, he's not even on the track. He's not in any jeopardy whatsoever.
Yeah. Now, I didn't see that, but that's not
good. Now there's people on the downside of the tabletop, and the guys coming have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, we could go back to, I you know better than I do. You watch it. We could go back to Iowa.
Well, it was a similar situation to that. Yeah.
Kind of that same thing, like, man.
So, Jesse, if this gets to you, it's. I mean, first and foremost, out of my concern for you, but, dude, it's just it puts everybody in peril when it doesn't need to be. So, that's just me.
Yeah. I don't want to go down the road with race directors.
believe me, as I've said this a million times now, as somebody who now puts on events, I really bite my tongue on criticism because I know it's not easy. But that's one, from a safety standpoint, there shouldn't be any leeway or tolerance.
I agree.
It needs to be addressed. So that's my rant.
Yep. Also, one thing, kind of totally changing directions on here, but it just popped in my head, talking about them and thinking about the riders' meetings and stuff. I don't know what took so long, but we finally went to Time Main Events for the Pro Light too.
Yeah.
Thank God.
That's a great improvement, right? We started the season with the pros and then did it to the pro light.
Our very first podcast, I was like, I don't know why they don't do that in everybody's class.
Yep.
Every single class, because then you know.
Well, I will say that the way they run events is awesome as far as timing, almost to the minute. So they've always been great that way. But, doing the timed ones, then you have, like you say, you know – And I think it worked out this year where almost every one was a little longer than they normally would have been.
Yep.
Puts a little more emphasis on the guys who can finish. And we see changes at the end of the races, right?
Yep. Yeah, because I know, I think it was the first day of the first Eagle River. When did they change it? Was it that weekend?
I think the first Eagle River, yeah.
So Friday night's pro light final, they're usually their target, I think, is like 7 to 8 minutes.
Yep.
It was 4.5. Yeah, that was on the data. Kern had it. We had it. That was
before they went to the...
That was before the time final.
Yeah.
Then Saturday night, they went to the time final.
And I think it was 10 almost.
Yeah, it was like 8.5 minutes or something long, I think.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, 4-minute final for Pro Light.
Yeah. That's a sport final.
Right.
So...
So anyway, yeah, good job on that, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. Good kudos to them for doing that.
Yeah, what else? What are you hearing much for postseason comings and goings?
I haven't heard anything concrete. The only thing I've really heard is, obviously, Peterson, I would imagine he's moving up.
Yep.
I think that's pretty much known. Pauline said he's staying around, so that's awesome. There's a lot of rumors about him.
And Kern's moving up.
I think Kern's moving up. I don't know for sure how that's all going to work out for him yet, but yeah, he's moving up. I would like to see Anderson move up, honestly. I think he's been around a while. He's probably right about at that point where he should be moving up.
Yeah.
I think, even wants to, but I don't know if he's going to be able to yet.
Doubt?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see he had surgery this week, huh?
Yeah. Did you see that video they posted?
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. 6 months? That's a long time.
6 months is a long time.
That was awesome.
Get well soon, Devin. Yeah.
Well, I said he's going to be the first one-arm guy, first one-arm entry at the Border Bell race. So
there you go. Yeah, he needs to be ready for the, was it Crosby he did last year when he won?
He needed to be ready for May 1st or May 2nd. What was he thinking? Come on. he'd be a good candidate. I'd be interested about Anderson. Like, definitely I think would be capable and ready. Wondering where he'll be. Just family now, and
yeah, that's true.
Been racing a long time, but no, I think so.
It's just one of them things where kind of a fresh start might almost kind of, I don't want to say light the fire, because he was riding awesome this year.
Great year.
It wasn't a lack of anything. I just think sometimes that change of pace kind of pushes you to that next level.
Yeah,
you know, because out of necessity.
Well, that's where it'd be nice if there was a bit more of a pro purse and some incentive for these guys. I mean, it's definitely tough, right? Because as dominant as Ischel was, 2 through 10 were just as tough, right?
Right.
But, you know, we were talking earlier about Cole Couture.
Yep.
Guy was in a podium spot with 2 laps to go.
Yeah.
You know, last race of the year.
Yep.
Which I think he had a good year overall.
I think so, too.
A lot of improvement. He's a much more mature approach to everything this year.
Yeah. Especially toward the end, he kind of seemed like he figured it out. And it seemed like he just had, like, a couple little things when he was running really good, like little – hiccups and stuff, but overall, speed-wise, I think the second half of the year especially, he was a heck of a lot better, and it was fun to watch. I think everybody was cheering for him.
Yeah. No, that was good to see. But, yeah, I'd love to see a handful of these guys move up.
Do you know, I don't know how close you are to that situation anymore, but, like, with Allred and Lorenz, do you know, is anything changing in the semi there? Or?
I mean, you'd think, well, for sure Allred's earned a spot.
Right.
And I would guess that they're going to, you know, try and make a push for a Pro Light championship with him.
Yep.
Lorenz, I don't know. I mean, coming into the year, I was told that he either had to perform or he was done. So did he earn that? I mean, he hasn't finished a season, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he missed 2 weekends.
A full season.
Yep. And then, but he also won a couple. He
won
so
2 races. Yeah. So I don't know where that's at. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and where does that leave their pro guy?
I mean. Yeah. Yeah. Emil.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good question. I haven't thought about that myself, but yeah, who knows?
But, yeah, other than that, I mean, I'm excited to see Corbin come back. He was having a heck of a year before he got hurt. Anderson.
Yep.
Other than that, I don't really see anything super stand out. Bailey had a really good year and then kind of struggled a little bit at the end. Yeah.
You know, I think you and I maybe have talked about this in the last couple of weeks or so, but there's a lot of chatter about, you know, Ischel is not under contract right now.
Yep.
And I think there's a serious, I don't think it's any mystery. There's a serious push by Polaris going on to
sign
him.
I wonder where they would try to slot him in.
Well, I've heard, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody's told me, you know, right from the source, but yeah.
Yeah.
But I also know that, one, I would hate to see that happen, just because I think I'm a fan of the Boss Racing team as sort of an underdog team.
Why is that? I don't really understand why they are, but it does seem that way. Is it just because they're not the Shearing?
Something.
Because I put them, well, not to put them in order, but I put them above Warnert.
But they always get the short end of the stick from corporate Ski-Doo.
Okay.
It's almost kind of like, and again, this is just me. It's somewhat an educated opinion, but I feel like it's the priority is always Warnert, Shearing, and then Boss.
Yep.
And Gary Krell, I mean, over time has spent a lot of his own money to make this stuff happen, you know?
Yeah.
And
look at him.
How do you deny a 3-time back-to-back-to-back world champion or national champion?
I mean, yeah, that, and I mean, I would say, not to pat the back of one of your sponsors, but Jamie is one of the best tuners in the pits. I mean, they've got an incredible team going. They got LaBelle coming up now.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you?
Well, and going back to your chart here with average finishes, well, Ischel at 2.69 is lower than anybody
by quite a bit.
But the key factor here is zero DNFs, right?
Zero DNFs. Yep.
Yeah.
And only one outside the top five.
Right. Two.
Two. Yep. You got one and 1/6 at Evo River, I guess.
The no DNFs is huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, you know, some of this could come down to just being Elias's decision. If somebody's willing to sign a huge check, you know.
Right.
You're a young guy, and what do you do? But I personally hope he ends up staying there and that team stays together. And
if I was betting, I think that's probably what'll happen, but that's my own opinion with zero knowledge of any of that. So
yeah, and I'm not going to speculate beyond that, but I have heard that for sure Polaris is, or a Polaris team is making a push. Yeah, anybody else? I don't know.
I'll look down, heard looking.
Jake Yerk maybe is kind of in the rumor mill, but I don't know much about that.
I've heard a lot. Just Ski-Doo kind of, it seems like they kind of run their teams more so than the other manufacturers.
Yeah.
I've actually kind of heard a lot about like potential people moving around within the Ski-Doo teams even.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's
curious to see how that falls.
That's the other thing that happens there is, you know, we looked at Peltier was on Shearing and then was relocated, and Renheim was on Boss at one point and you know, relocated within the Ski-Doo family. And some of that might be the rider's decision. Some of it might be Ski-Doo's, you know, maybe a guy's not happy to place, whatever. But yeah, and I don't think people realize that. That is across the board with Ski-Doo and Polaris, is that the manufacturers have the first contract.
Yep.
And then the team has a,
like a secondary with supplemental contract type thing. Yeah.
So,
yeah, because I know even like with Mitch, his contract is with Polaris to ride with us.
Yeah, so quite a bit different than like what you might see in Supercross or Motocross or, you know, where the riders kind of have a little bit more control of their own destiny.
Yep. If there was an opening, do you think they would take Renheim back in one of those spots? I'd personally like to see him come back. I don't know if there's going to be an opening for him, but
I don't think so. I think unless it's somebody like an Ischel who's going to have an immediate impact, I think those spots are probably going to go to maybe one of these guys moving up.
Yeah.
Interesting too. I had a conversation with Joe Duncan about this just the other day, how maybe one of the identity crisis the sport has is the fact that the top of the pro class is heavy on Euros, right? And there's no U.S. fans don't have any connection to him.
Yeah. The first American guy is Pat Nod.
Yeah, and
in fourth, but
yeah.
The top three, they're all from
and
Europe.
And so, you know, I guess it's a fair argument, but how do you not make one of those guys your top guy if they're winning?
Right.
Right? I mean, that's your first priority, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed like Ischel, especially, he seems like he's got fans around here, and it doesn't really seem like that matters for him. And maybe it's just he's got a good attitude over here more so than some. He's not as quiet, maybe, or something.
Yeah.
I don't like when I talk to him one on one. It's like talking to you or, you know, Mitch or somebody. He's just like talking to a buddy. Whereas some of the other guys are quiet, and you kind of got to pry it out of them.
Yeah, and I think that can develop over time too. I think it's just the, you know, if you're looking at bigger outside sponsorship, do corporate U.S. companies rally behind a, you know, an international rider? I mean,
yeah,
that doesn't relate to the beer drinking,
right,
Ford truck driving. Yeah. Consumer, right?
Yeah, and I mean, we got to face it. That's our crowd.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. You got to live within your world, right?
And yep. And I think even, you know, again, not to go back to ISOC here, but I think they could do a better job with. It's not really going to help that maybe, but letting these people get to know these guys, they don't really tell the stories like nobody, knows.
I should say Chevy truck driving. You know, since yeah. since Finley Motors is.
There you go.
Sorry, Carl.
No, I think like nobody knows Ishwal outside of the track, and that sucks.
Yeah,
there's no rider profiles really on these guys outside of a podium interview, and some of them, you know, Ishwal, actually all of them pretty much have gotten pretty good English now, but sometimes they're hard to even understand, and I think ISOC could do a better job with letting us get to know them, you know, like over the summer they could do that type of stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, and this year was a little different in that regard because of COVID, but right. Still, there's been opportunities. Yep. Yeah, you look at that guy, he came here when he was 14 or 15, didn't speak a word of English.
Yep, and was lightning fast and scary.
Well, but just from a personality standpoint, I could see where people just kind of stayed away from him or, yeah. You know, because, you know, we're the dummies who don't make an attempt to learn somebody else's language, right? These guys yeah. come here and now he speaks pretty much fluent English.
Yeah.
Is a really and easy to get along with guy and talk to a guy.
What was his first year here?
I think he's 21 now, so it would have been like 6 years ago.
Because I remember when he first came here, his podium speech was track good Makita.
Yeah.
That was it. So for him to be where he's at now is crazy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They make an investment in their futures, right?
And yeah.
In a lot of European countries, I mean, English is taught mm-hmm. as a second or a secondary yep. language, but still, I feel embarrassed about how, like, I feel like at times I've tried to learn a little bit of French just to communicate, like, with mm-hmm. Tim Tremblay when, you know, not even that I needed to because he spoke right, perfectly right, good, right. But just to make an effort, and yeah. it's like, God.
Well, and even on that, some of them that, you know, they'll make a post on their social media and they post it in whatever their,
yeah.
you know, native language is, and I'm like, can you post this in English too? Because I don't know what that says. I'd like to, but I have no idea what that says.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, like Finnish, I'm not sure about Norwegian, but Finnish, man, that's a nightmare language. When you look at that on paper.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Swedish, I guess you can kind of pretend you know what you're, you know. But anyway, yeah, just an interesting point to me is how some of that shakes out. But mm-hmm. Yeah, what else?
Pauline, has anybody heard anything other than winning fan favorite? Is he okay after that? He had two pretty big hits at the end of the year. I think he's fine, but
yeah,
two pretty good hits to the head at the end of the year. I hope he's all good.
Never a big fan of multiple concussions, right? No. And who knows if he had a concussion or not, but I hope he's, yeah, I haven't talked to him. I should give him a call and see how things
yeah.
are going.
Yeah,
he did after the deal at the Dominator, he had responded to a post, you know, saying he was fine and everything.
Oh, but, okay.
But, yeah, definitely want to see that guy back around. He had his best season ever, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Logan, he's coming back, I assume, right?
I think so. I thought about that on the way over here. And, again, folks, not trying to be lazy, but this was one that we just kind of put together.
Man, we got dirt bikes to ride. You got events to get ready for.
I keep sitting here looking at this bike going, dude, it you know, it's been like kind of crappy weather all week and it's nice and sunny outside right now.
Yeah.
When are we going to wrap this thing up?
Yeah.
No. We'll have to do a little homework on some of these guys. And the rumor mill will start kind of firing. You know, a lot of this stuff happens soon now. The signings have to take place. Yeah. Budgets are. So we'll dig into a little bit more. Definitely are going to do. We're going to start transitioning into more summer content mm-hmm. on the pod. You know who I want to get on? I've got a couple guys that fly riders that we've worked with and raced our series. Get them on, but also Zach Erfendahl, who
he comes out and does some, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's raced a couple of our events over the years, and I want to touch base. We didn't do a lot of cross-country snowmobile coverage this year.
There wasn't just a whole lot to cover, to be
fair. Well, I know, but I wanted to see how that, you know, how things affected him, what his thoughts were on how that, you know, because they have a whole new organization running that series now.
Yep.
Core Power Sports. And just get his insight. I was like talking to Zach. We share a common love of hunting and outdoors, and he goes fast on a motorcycle. Yeah,
did you get a turkey the other day? Or?
I only went out yesterday for a little bit, and I was going to get up and go early this morning. I'm like, I got to prepare for this podcast with Dalton.
Yeah, you knew I was coming. Yeah. A little late here, but yeah. I got here.
No. And we got a work day at ERX tomorrow, so I won't get out tomorrow. I'll go out Sunday morning.
Okay.
My son got one 30 minutes into the season, sends me a picture. Ah, shit. I don't know. Honestly, we bought some hunting land last summer, and he was out there, and I'm just as sort of happy and fulfilled seeing that he got one right away. Then
yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to get out there. Like I say, I went out for a couple hours yesterday, and it was, you know, I've been kind of cool and crappy here all week, and then the sun started popping out, and I'm sitting down by a river, and ducks are flying. It's just good to get outside. I enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, it wasn't that Wednesday night, or our Woods Wednesday thing. It was cold by the end of the night there.
Yeah,
and getting geared down and stuff. I was like, holy crap!
Once you start getting wet and sweaty, and
yeah.
So let's talk about that. You were out there. We call it Woods Wednesday. It's at ERX Motor Park. Last weekend or this week was our first one of the season, and we did it last year probably six or eight times, and I think our biggest night we had close to I think we hit 65 riders. So we come out of the gate this year, 96 riders the first night.
No crap.
Yeah, no shit. You're right. Yeah.
It was busy. I mean, when I pulled in, you know, going down the driveway on the way into the facility, I looked over and I had to stop up at the CM shop and see Andrew quick. But looking over there, my first thought was, holy crap, there's a lot of people here. I didn't expect that. I never went to one last year that was that full. So
yeah,
that was awesome to see.
Well, I thought with the weather that made, I was hoping it would be a big night, kind of expected it would be. And I thought, oh, with the weather, it's maybe not going to be quite what, but man, unbelievable. And what I love about those things is leading up to Wednesday, I had so many calls from people who were like, oh, I just bought my first dirt bike and I don't really know where to ride, or I just got my son his first, you know, I got a PW50. Mm-hmm. It's just super cool out there where guys like yourself or even some of the top AA guys.
Yeah, Kid Talk was out there.
Yeah, they're out putting in hard laps or whatever, but yet there's first timers out there, and everybody's cool with everybody. If you come up on somebody, just be patient.
Yep. Well, there was that guy out there on like a 650. Full fairing headlight KLR 650 or whatever that was.
Well,
I was like, good for that guy.
I went to start picking stuff up at the end of the night. Like, we go until 8 o'clock, and it was with it being overcast and kind of rainy, it was starting to get fairly dark.
Yep.
All of a sudden I see these headlights coming through the woods. I'm like, super, man, that's cool.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I passed him at one point and I was like, holy crap, that's a big bike to be wrestling through here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I mean, there was a guy out there on a trials bike. There was a guy out there on an electric motorcycle, like some off brand older, you know, or not older, but, and then I don't know if you saw, but we put in a little, like a little beginner loop. It was down and off to the parking lot behind the Daytona turn. And I guess there were a ton of PWs out there. And then I had a couple guys come up saying, yeah, I just bought this motorcycle. I've never ridden it. I'm like, well, go down there and just make some laps.
Yeah. Get used to it.
So yeah, the off-road scene is huge right now. And I think, obviously with COVID, a lot of people bought bikes last year and, are just getting out, trying it. And I was talking with a number of people, Boris from MotorX, the guy we work with at MotorX, was out, and we were just talking about, man, if we can just keep a big percentage of these people as trail riders, you know, I don't care if they ever race, if we can get one or two of them to race here and there, that's great. But if we can just keep them as dirt bike riders, that's awesome.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Keep them on their bikes.
And I want to thank Chris Carlson and Heidi and the crew at ERX. You know, it's been a battle. Like, for a long time, I tried to get this to happen. And then last year they decided, let's go ahead and give it a shot. And I think we showed that it's worthwhile for everybody. And the first thing they said to me after the first week or so was, you know, we used to have moto ride nights out here and we stopped doing it because people would be riding all over the facility. And he said, your group has been like the most respectful bunch we've ever had out here. So that's cool to hear. And I think that is the case. It's just people want to go out and have some fun and it's cool. You go ride. It's about a 20 minute lap right now we've got.
Yep.
Come back in, hang out for a bit.
Yep. You know, so. Yeah. I would say, I mean, to mirror that, you know, I just 2 years ago, I did my first hair scramble at DRX.
Yeah.
And I would say the atmosphere there is, it's just, I don't want to say less intense because there's guys there that are intense for sure. But it's so much more like everybody's friends and like.
Just with a hair scramble in general, you're talking.
Just that off-road kind of mentality. Yeah. They're way more relaxed than just anybody will talk to anybody. I mean, I had Logan, speaking of him. Him and a buddy jumped on the course behind me, and obviously they're quite a bit faster than I am. Yep. Well, I ride with earplugs in, so I didn't hear him coming. All of a sudden, he's right next to me, and he had to jump off the trail to get around me and ended up cartwheeling into a tree, basically. And he gets up and says, sorry to me. I was like, well, I was in your way.
Logan did this on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, and then he's loading up the next day to go over to the GNCC, and I think he said South Carolina.
Yeah.
I went and talked to him afterwards, and like, you don't got to say sorry to me. I was in your way, but yeah, like, that's cool. Like, not to bash moto guys, because they're all, the guys that I know are all really cool, but it's not usually that way.
Well, how different is it coming from a national snowcross to a off-road motorcycle?
Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, everybody's hiding in their trailer and you can't talk if they're from this brand or this brand or yeah, no, it's, again, not to play that down. I love that industry, and that's, you know,
oh yeah, absolutely,
where I've spent a lot of years, you know, but
it's just different.
Off-road is just a chill. I mean, at the end of the day, you're kind of, the challenge in the whole deal is you're kind of racing yourself and the course, right? I mean, yeah, there's guys out there that you're trying to beat, but it's about kind of survival at your fastest pace.
Yeah. We were talking to one of the guys out there. I don't remember his name, unfortunately, but he was one of the guys that he had never been out there before and he hadn't really been riding very long. And he was kind of asking me and my buddy Eric about the hair scrambles and stuff, if that was the course and all that. And, you know, we're like, it's pretty much like this. Like, at the start, you take off with everybody. But after that, it's pretty much like this. Like, you're out there kind of just doing your thing. If you come up on someone, give them a rev. Hopefully they move. Most of the time they do. And if they come up on you, same thing the other way around. You know, it's so much more relaxed. I love it.
Well, there's times, you know, you get like a lap and a half in, you might not even see another bike for 10, 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Well, Crosby last year, I was by myself for probably an hour in the middle of the race.
Yeah.
And then one of the AA guys went blowing by me and I was like, oh, I want to try to at least keep somewhat pace with them. Cause I felt like I was just out lollygagging around and then ended up hitting a tree and breaking my knee brace. But
you, when you're on that hour ride by yourself, do you end up talking to yourself?
It's usually cussing at myself because I almost hit something or I'm tired and I feel like I shouldn't be or something like that. But no, I've thought before about having like music or something just to kind of keep your head occupied sometimes, because when you are by yourself, it's easy to start daydreaming and getting sidetracked. But I don't know. It's especially like Crosby, like some of them tighter sections and stuff, you really can't have a distraction.
You can't let up. No. All right.
Anyway, this is a snowcross podcast, right?
No, this is the fly racing podcast. So
yeah.
we're all things power sports, but definitely wrapping up the snowcross season. How about your team? What's on the burner for next year?
Well, we were pumped to wrap up the 120 championship again. She was super excited about that and working on getting some cool things sent out to our sponsors for the year. But Mitch will be back with us. He had a good year, all things considered. It was his first year back after having a knee injury that took him out of the year before and moving up to ProLite. So I'm excited to see what where he's at next year, because now he sees where he needs to be.
Yep.
The whole getting tired halfway through the final thing, you know, now he knows. So I'm really excited for next year to see where he comes out at.
And stay healthy all year?
He did. Yep. Good. Early season, you know, he'd have those couple things where he'd land hard and feel his knee, and he was like, But halfway through the year, that went away, and mostly the heat races, we'd see him push pretty hard in the heat races, so we knew the speed was there. Yep. It's just the final, you know, he pretty much knew he was going to get tired halfway through, and as frustrating as that is, I understand.
Yeah.
So,
you got your 1 year there, Mitchell.
Yeah, exactly.
No excuses next year.
Yeah, no, and he knows that. He's my favorite thing about Mitchell is he's probably one of the most honest people when he comes off the track.
Well, and he's a hard worker. It's not like he just, yeah.
Yeah, yep, and if it's him, he'll say it. If it's the sled, he'll say it. And, you know, it's unfortunately, when it's him, I can't really fix that. That's what sucks.
Right.
We can't turn clickers on Mitch.
Oh, that's a T-shirt.
But yeah, it was good.
Okay.
Gavin, I think he's done. He's going to go to school. So, okay. Yeah.
So, two rider team maybe?
Yeah, we'll have the two girls for sure. Avery's not sure if she's going to do 120s again or not yet. We're kind of pushing her not to, but if she wants to, she'll be able to. But yeah, she dabbled in juniors this year, and now it's kind of, all right, you need to learn how to double, and you need to, you know, put some focus into that. So, I actually have already been working on that sled since the season's been done. We're tearing that one down and going through it and getting that ready for her, and even tinkering a little bit with clutching stuff already. So,
are you in the shop on a regular basis all through the summer?
Yep. Or just, yep. Yeah? So I keep my dirt bikes there now. So I'm there even between work. I still have the same schedule basically. I'm just you know, I'm not there to work anymore. I'm working on my own stuff. But
sure,
yeah, I'm there pretty much almost every day.
And how about are you stripping down or refurbing race sleds and selling them?
So that was the first week we did. I went through both of mine. They're both, one's sold, one's for sale. We're waiting on skis. We had to get some new skis because we had the ski stiffener kit.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're waiting on that still. They went to Florida for 2 weeks, so
okay.
Some of that kind of stuff kind of got put on hold. But, yeah, the sleds are all gone through. Now we're just going through. Lila's actually going to be doing regionals on a half throttle now, which is crazy because she's so little. Yeah. But, and then she's taking Gavin's old sled, and we're going through that thing with a fine-tooth comb and making it perfect. So.
Okay. So, yeah. Never ends, right?
No, it never ends. Yeah. There's always something going around with snowmobiles. Nick's building another 120 over the summer.
For just?
Just have a fresh one. The one he has a couple years on it now. Okay. So, yeah. It's just, it never ends.
Why not? Yeah. Yep. So. All right. Well, yeah, I don't know. I think that about wraps her up for, you know, kind of a year end. And again, I'll probably jump back on and start doing a little bit more of an off-road branded pod here in the next couple of weeks, and I'll touch base with you if you're around or available. We'll get in on that. Maybe we'll wait and do one after the border battle, first border battle.
Yeah, we could do that.
I'm curious. You know, we generally get a fair number of snowmobile racers come out and give that a try. We've talked about that before, but
yeah, I've been pumping it up to a few guys, trying to get them to come up.
I sent a note to Todd at Core Power Sports this morning and tell him if he wants to push the fact that we've got that race coming up, I'll do half price entries to any Core guys who have never raced one. So,
That'd be cool.
If you want to spread the word there too, get a hold of me. I'll give you a code to use on the online registration and get you half price entry for the Frostbuster on May 1st and 2nd at ERX.
Okay. Is that just the cross country guys, or is that snowcross guys first timers too? Or how do you?
Let's make it anybody who's a bona fide snowmobile racer.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, spread the word if you would, please. Let's get that up. We've been, in the past, we've had entries of 466 and 472, which is probably 100 more than a typical big race.
Yep.
But, man, I would love to break 500 riders. That would be just killer.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I think I'll just throw it out there right now. If we were to break 500 entries, I'll give everybody a $5 credit towards a future entry.
There you go. Yeah. I like that.
All right.
Maybe we also, too, if you people that want to give it a shot, maybe before then, the Woods Wednesdays.
Yeah, so
you could get some free tires too. Gary was giving them out like candy this week.
I did give away probably a few more than I planned on. But man, I thought 96 riders. We gotta reward these guys for showing up on a crappy night. Yeah. I think it looks like it's supposed to be maybe a little sunnier and upper 50s next week. So yeah, come on out to Woods Wednesday. If we break 100 there, maybe I'll give away a bunch more tires. But we are going to give away some X brand goggles next week.
I won those last year. Then I got that great picture you got of me on your Instagram.
Well, I'm glad you finally started wearing a bra now. But.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, all right. So if you're not a motorcycle person, sorry, we're a bit boring you to death, or maybe you already checked out on us. But glad to have you part of the fold, and we'll always be at the snowmobile races. But, yeah, any snowmobilers who want to come out to Woods Wednesday, happy to have you. And if you want to give it a shot and then try racing the Frostbuster, half price entry, give me a call. Get a hold of Dalton. And if you want to just come out and watch, it's kind of a party. And this year, I think we're going to be back to normal. So you can.
Yeah, it's a big crowd usually for that one.
You can step in the chalet, grab a beer, walk around the course, check things out, watch Jesse Thielen pull people out of the mud hole.
Yeah. Yep. Hopefully not his own kid.
No, we're gonna do a little work on that. I was afraid I was going to kill Jesse last year out there. So, all right. Well, hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. We're going to keep some action going on the website, ridex365.com. We'll keep snow content going on there all year. maybe some of those profiles we're talking about, like getting to know some of these other guys behind the scenes and whatnot. Who knows? Maybe if travel loosens up, I know I was talking to Elias about, you know, he's going to race maybe a support class at the World Championships this year. And I said, well, maybe if things loosen up, I'll have to come over and we'll do a little story. And
that'd be cool.
Visit Norway, right?
Yeah, for sure. That would be cool.
Yeah, so let's do that. Let's get a little bit more personality on there and keep tuning in. Spread the word. We appreciate it. Thanks again to Fly Racing, also to Studboy Traction, CNA Pro Skis for everything this whole season, and the folks that got behind the power rankings. That was awesome. Woody's Manufacturing, Fox Shocks, Hayes Power Sport. Looking forward to doing that again next year, as well as maybe expanding it into some other classes or some other disciplines. So with that, we'll be back. So the Frostbusters, May 1st and 2nd. Maybe the week after that, I'm going to go see my daughter in California. I got the COVID shot, Dalton.
Oh, boy. Don't got any third arms or anything.
I got the one-time JJ, so I might be growing horns there soon. But
isn't that the one they just said not to get, though?
Yeah, they quit doing it. So
oh, boy.
I haven't had a blood clot or a stroke yet, so so far so good. And I'll probably tip over on the trail out there with you this afternoon now.
Don't say that. Don't say that, please.
Well, if I do, just bury me there, please.
Yeah, okay.
So we'll take 1 week off after Frostbuster and then come back and we'll do a podcast. Maybe we'll do it at Woods Wednesday that following week. So
yeah, we could do that.
All right. Thanks, everybody. See you in a few weeks.
Yep. Thank you. Keep. I wonder who would drive my car.